Everybody, welcome back to the press. I'm Ryan Bellinger. It's good to have you with us today. We're going to go into our second show this week about the Valero Texas Open. We've got plenty to get to, a more in-depth look at some of the finer points of this tournament. We'll rehash some of the things that we talked about in our first episode just to kind of bring it all together for you. We'll have a shorter third episode this week where we're going to talk a little bit about the LPGA match play, a little bit about the Korn Ferry Tour being back playing in Savannah at the Landings for the Club Car Championship. We got Live Golf Miami that starts on Friday as well. And we don't have a DP World Tour event this week. We do have some Champions Tour stuff, but we'll see about that. Nevertheless, let's get into or back into the Valero Texas Open. So to rehash, bring it back up to speed if you're just catching up this week. Valero Texas Open is the last chance saloon to get into the Masters. You win and you're in. It's the only way you can still get into the Masters. The field's at 97 currently, so it's going to be no more than 98 competing at Augusta National next week. Again, last chance to get in. There are about two dozen players who are in the field of 97 already that are playing this week. So historically, you don't want to win, right? There are only two guys who have ever won the week before the Masters and then wound up winning the Masters the following Sunday. Sandy Lyle in 88, Phil Mickelson in 06. Mickelson won a blowout, the Bell South Classic, played with two drivers. Then he won his second Masters. Sandy Lyle won his one and only Masters title after winning in Greensboro the week prior. So, hard to do, hard to win the week prior and then win the Masters, but if you're just trying to get there, right, you're playing your heart out. So, playing on the Oaks course at TPC San Antonio, this is a Greg Norman designed, open in 2010, par 72, very similar yardages last 3-4 weeks, 74, 38, a little bit less than last week, that was a par 70, this is par 72, but the scoring is pretty similar, honestly, between the tournaments, so that gives you an indication maybe how wind plays out and holes that are par fives that are probably par fours, holes that are par fours that probably should be a little higher thought of in terms of par, but obviously not a par five. So we've got a $9.5 million purse, $1.71 million to the champion this week. But more importantly, if you're not in the Masters, you get the Masters. All right, let's look at the model top 10. We talked about this already. Hideki Matsuyama, number one, Fleetwood two, Cantlay three. Keep Cantlay in your back pocket. Keep Ludvig and Connors in your back pocket. Actually, Fleetwood, you're going to see those names a lot in the graphics for the remainder of the show. Keegan Bradley, sixth. Bud Cauley, seventh. Again, beneficiary of a limited number of starts and good results recently. Actually, great results recently in those starts. Matt McNeely, eighth. Keith Mitchell, ninth. Jacob Bridgman, tenth. I want to double underscore Jacob Bridgman because a lot of his best work has come against weaker fields. So when we get to our analysis of strokes gained on the approach, quality strokes gained, he's the one player, basically, that appears on the strokes gained list, but not on the quality strokes gained list. So we'll get to that a little bit later and explain that for you. Horses for courses. Again, we talked about this in the first show. Just going to kind of rehash names. I want you to keep seeing in these graphics and what I'm saying, same names over and over and over again, because those are the players to like, right? Based on their course history, based on what they have done here or what they have done more recently. A little combination of both of what we talk about in this particular episode. But you've got Corey Connors, two-time winner, Hideki Matsuyama, who's got a couple of good finishes here, Charlie Hoffman, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth. I think you could maybe throw in a Denny McCarthy. You could certainly throw in a Gary Woodland, and I should have had Gary Woodland in this graphic. He has a surprisingly good record in this event. If you look at the last, he has two good finishes in this tournament, but in the last 5 years, and we have a tool for this, our members at golfnewsnet.com, if we have strokes gained average in an event by the last 2 years, last 3 years, last 4 years, last 5 years. Last 5 years, Gary Woodland is the leader in strokes gained in this tournament on average based on round, against total rounds played. So keep that in mind coming off of what could be a career-saving finish last week in Houston. Really feeling it, really feeling the opportunity. I think he got something here with Gary Woodland. Course fits. Now, this is a little bit different than horses for courses. We talk about this a little bit for our members at golfnewsnet.com. And what we do is we look at the average breakout of strokes gained in players who finished in the top 25 in any specific tournament's field over the last 5 years. And obviously, we're looking at events that have the same host course. And if they have multiple courses, just that one course, right? So, of course, if it gets tougher on a multi-course event, obviously. But these are players whose breakout when they finish in the top 25, they're how they divide their strokes gained as a percentage of those strokes gained. How it kind of lines up pretty well. And the thinking here is, and I don't think you should take this as gospel, of course, but that if you gain strokes when you play more or less your best, lines up with what a course demands or how players perform on the PGA Tour, then there should be some crossover, something to like. This is something I used a little bit more frequently in the earlier days of this. This is more kind of a touchstone point than anything, not a confirmation of anything, something that can help me along if I hear a name over and over and over again or see one over and over again in my research. And this comes up again, you go, okay, something to think about. If they show up on this list and they don't show up anywhere else, I tend to throw them out. But maybe if they're just appealing enough long shot, or maybe they're just playing just well enough recently, they make the list. So Patrick Cantlay is a course fit, great PGA Tour player, seems to kind of fit the golf course. It's kind of a mystery why he was playing, in my opinion, but it kind of makes some sense. Ricky Fowler is a fit here. Lee Hodges is interesting in that he seems to play his best golf course or best golf on courses where there's a lot of water, a lot of trouble in play. This isn't really one of those. I mean, there's some, obviously. Kevin Na made a 16 here, but it's not so in your face as the places he's played well. And then Chan Kim as well. I would say probably you might want to think about Fowler because of this list, and I think Cantlay you would be thinking about anyhow if you're interested in where he is as a new TGL champion. Past champions. Akshay Bhatia, Corey Connors, J.J. Spahn, Jordan Spieth, Corey Connors. Again, Corey Connors' last Monday qualifier to win on the PGA Tour, that first win in 2019. There was no event in 2020 for COVID, and Jordan Spieth winning in 21 was quite a bit of a surprise. But again, trying to build the archetype of player who plays well here. Guy who's a good ball striker, not so great putter. Don't have to be long. You can be medium length, medium, upper medium length, and longer and do well. If you're super long, you tend not to do well here. That's just kind of the guy. I mean, that's who it is. There's no real dispute about that. I'm not saying Ludwig can't win here, but think about who does well here and then start to kind of build out from there. Now, this is where we start to kind of get into more in-depth data that we look at for our members. And this is one of my favorite graphics that we've started using, kind of looking at short-term form. So our rubric, my model that I do every week is based on 1 and 2 year windows primarily. That's the overwhelming portion of it. Then the last 3 years of a tournament performance, and then the last 10 tournaments played performances. And those are smaller weightings. This is just a look at what have you done for me in the last 10? What have you done for me in the last 10 tournaments on the PGA Tour? I want to know if you're gaining 1.2 strokes gained total per round on the average. I want to know if you're gaining 1.5 quality strokes gained per round on the average. And that's a measure multiplying your strokes gained by the quality of your competition as determined by the official world golf ranking. And then separately, I want to know if you're gaining strokes gained on the approach in the order of 0.6 strokes per round or better. Because that's telling me you're playing well in probably the most critical facet of the game. In my opinion, approach is the most critical facet of the game. You're playing well there. You're just lagging in some other areas. So you may be a potential bright spot, someone to look at that if you just have a good week putting, or if you just drive it a little bit better, something that's deficient, that just gets a little bit better 1 week, you could be a winner here. So let's start left, move right. Bud Cauley, Akshay Bhatia, Tommy Fleetwood, Daniel Berger, Patrick Cantlay, Danny Walker, Jacob Bridgman. Those are the guys who qualify under that strokes gained criteria. So they're playing really well recently, regardless of what tournaments they're playing in. The only guy that falls out of that list once we consider the quality of the competition is Jacob Bridgman, right? And he just has limited starts. And so you kind of have to, you know, take him out of consideration, but the weighting of him, especially a couple of weeks ago, being so close, you know, being on the first page of our graphics where we talk about players in the betting odds table, maybe a little high considering that he's done his best work against weaker competition. And then, interestingly enough, there's quite a bit of difference between players who appear on the quality strokes gained list and the strokes gained approach list. Henrik Norlander leads the class. He's averaging more than a stroke per round in the last 10 events on the approach. Now, he's not good at a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's something to think about. Cantlay, Fleetwood, Cauley, Ryan Gerard, who is going to show up in a graphic a little bit later about consistency, and then Tom Kim. So Ryan Gerard's really interesting to me. I've talked about him a number of times the last couple of weeks on the show about his consistency. Seems to keep showing up, seems to be putting himself in position. He's one of those guys whose game seems to travel everywhere. And in part, that's because of the strokes gained approach. Now, let's look at strokes gained tee to green numbers with low variance. This is something I love to look at. It's one of my favorite tells. Strokes gained putting is so variable, right? I mean, if you're a bad putter, you tend to be a bad putter, but you can have weeks to the contrary, and vice versa. You're a good putter, you're going to have a bad week putting. That's probably the most variable of your strokes gained, other than maybe strokes gained on the around the green metric, because that depends on how you play that week and if you're hitting a lot of greens, all that type of stuff, right? But strokes gained tee to green in the aggregate really gives you a good idea of how you're doing and leaves out the most variable component. What is more important to me, or equally as important, is that leadership in that category comes with low variance. I don't want to see a big spiky chart if I had to plot it. I want to see something relatively flat, right? And so these are the guys who are gaining pretty well tee to green, leading in this field with low variance. Go down the list. Again, a lot of the same guys we've talked about. Fleetwood, Matsuyama, Tom Kim, Daniel Berger, Keith Mitchell, Henrik Norlander again, Keegan Bradley being on the list. Doug Gim is probably maybe your only surprise. And again, he's a horrible putter. That kind of is the problem. When he putts well, he plays great, finishes top five. It's not that he's streaky. He's a great tee to green player for the most part. He stinks at putting, and that's what gets in the way. That's why you get those huge odds on him. That's why he's hard to back. But I like looking at this list to just say, hey, are these guys playing well consistently, or are they kind of up and down? Start to kind of tie these, how many times you see these guys' names over and over and over again. And there you have it. And one name I was surprised that wasn't on this list in terms of variance was Corey Connors. Just didn't qualify, but it was close. But I think you could put him on the list. Then let's look at players who are finishing in the top 20 of the last 50 events played at least 40% of the time when they play. That means not that they're finishing 20 times out of the last 50 in the top 20, that when they play in the last 50 PGA Tour events played, their top 20 percentage is 40 or better. With 10 players in that category this week, which is actually kind of surprising. Ryan Gerard is exactly on 40%, which is interesting. Then build up from there. Akshay Bhatia, Matt McNeely, Hideki Matsuyama, Corey Connors, Patrick Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Alex Noren, Ludvig Åberg, and Tony Finau. So you've got an interesting list of guys here, way more than I actually expected to be in the field this week, to be honest with you. I mean, the other weeks we've done these graphics, it's like six guys, seven guys, five guys. So this tells you we've got some consistent players in the field, and I really like this for a derivative bet, because if you want to place a top 20, you're going to have a hard time getting a good value probably on anybody from Matsuyama, maybe even McNeely, but McNeely's odds are interesting this week. He's a little deep. So maybe you go after a McNeely and a Gerard on a top 20 bet, kind of, and a Noren. I like a Noren 20 bet pretty much every week. But those are maybe the three guys you target. You forget the rest, right, because you're going to get minus money or not a good price relative to the market. And you go chase those guys and see if you can't make out like a bandit on those bets. Now, we didn't really talk about this slide as much last week, and we modified it for this week, talking about first round strokes gained leaders. We've struggled in tournaments where there's obviously multiple courses, right? Split fields, that's always a problem. We can't really use it for that. Or where the event might move around or might be in a one-off some years. Sometimes that happens. Or if there's like an extensive course renovation. That's where this kind of modeling may not work as well. But this is just a look at how are you playing in the first round of the last 50 PGA Tour events played, in which you played, and then in this event in the last 5 years. And the list is, I mean, there's not a ton of overlap between, there's two names that overlap on this graphic that I think are interesting. So looking at the Valero Texas Open specifically, the first round leaders that are playing this week in strokes gained on the average are Corey Connors, Akshay Bhatia, Siwoo Kim, Denny McCarthy, JT Post, and Jordan Spieth. Spieth probably buoyed by a win. Denny McCarthy had the fourth round comeback last year. Didn't really think of him as a first round player at this venue, but that's interesting. Siwoo does tend to get, when he gets off to a hot start, he does tend to play well, right? He is a front runner. But Corey Connors and Akshay Bhatia being on this list is interesting. Then look at the last 50 PGA Tour events played. You've got Alex Noren at the top of the list, Corey Connors, Ludvig, Tony Finau, Akshay Bhatia, Keith Mitchell. So you've got two guys on both lists. I think that you're not going to get a great price on them to be the first round leader, but those are guys if you play this market, if you like to play, and I know a lot of people love to play first round leader markets. I'm not a huge first round leader guy, but if you're going to bet a couple of guys pre-tournament, pre-flop on the FRL, that's probably where you start. And then you build a couple of guys who are 50, 70, 100. And if Corey Connors and Akshay Bhatia do what they're supposed to do, then you still get paid a good number, right? You probably only made 4 or 5 bets. You're going to get paid out pretty well in that number. So just wanted to point that out. And we'll continue doing that moving forward, looking at strokes gained numbers in the last 50 and for the event in the last 5 years. And that way, if you see some crossover there, I feel like that's more of a green light to go and bet guys. And with all that said, let's look one last time through the betting odds that we have so far. And I think you're going to see a number of names obviously came up in the graphics so far in the show. And you're going to see a number of guys who didn't really. So if we're looking at the odds for this week, you've got Ludvig Åberg at 12-1. You got Corey Connors at 14-1. Tommy Fleetwood at 14-1. It's almost impossible to play Fleetwood because he doesn't win in this country. And you're not going to play him in the top 20. Maybe a top 5 or 10, you might get some plus money. But I would not be willing to do that. Patrick Cantlay did come up a couple times in our slides. Hideki 20. Akshay 22. So, I mean, those first round numbers are going to be very similar to that for those guys. You might get a 12 and a 18 or something like that for Connors and Akshay, which is kind of interesting. I love Keegan Bradley this week. Denny's a little too short for me. Otherwise, I would be interested. Keith Mitchell at 40, certainly worth a look. But Cauley's worth a play at 45. Gary Woodland's worth a play at 50, I think. I think Michael Kim is just kind of here to be here. Jacob Bridgman's kind of interesting. But again, that slide about strokes gained versus quality strokes gained, that kind of dilutes my thinking about him. But I know some people are going to bet him regardless. Then we kind of get a little bit deeper. Lee Hodges' name came up as a potential course fit at 60-1. I would love to see him more like 80 or 90-1. Matt McNeely's name's come up a couple of times. I think he's fallen off a little bit. Ryan Gerard at 65 is my play. I know some people will like Jake Knapp because he can bang it around. And I'm not disputing that. It's just not going to be a play for me. Kitayama, same thing, can kind of bang it around. Guys that love the Mexico Open. We talked about this in the first show. I believe that there is at least a acknowledgeable correlation between performance at the Sony Open in Hawaii and here. If you think about J.J. Spahn, think about Jordan Spieth, you think about Matt Kuchar, there are guys, Hideki, you think about guys that play well at YLA that tend to play well here. Just the nature of the animal. So if you've seen someone play well at YLA this year, you may want to consider him here. So that's how you get to like a Jackson Super, who's not on this graphic, but a guy I think it's really interesting this week because he had a great, great week to start the year. There. Ryan Fox had a great week last week at 70-1. If the wind blows, I really like him quite a bit. Maybe he's starting to figure out how to play the PGA Tour. Hits the crap out of the ball. Just kind of needs things to go his way. But in a windy situation, I like him quite a bit. Isaiah Salinda's starting to play well, play up. I wonder if you want to try to see some correlation between the Mexico Open and here. I don't see that. But if you try to see that, then you would start to think about him here. I know people are going to bet Hoagie at 80-1 because of the ball striking. I can be behind that. That's fine. I can support that. Then we're starting to kind of get in those longer shot guys. You know, Matt Wallace is kind of interesting. If it blows, Sammy Valimaki has nothing to lose. He's playing on relatively limited status. I love Jesper Svensson. I called him out last week for Houston. I'd like to have him again. I would take him over Doug Gim in a heartbeat, even though they're on the same price. Tosi's on 135. I think he's going to have a rough week. I would stay away from him. We did mention Chan Kim as a course fit. Again, 135 is a little deep for my liking for just his name on just that graphic, right? If it were other places, all right, I think it's playable, but just the one, no thanks. And then a last look at some guys here. You've got Jackson Subert, that 150 number, which I probably will play. And then beyond that, probably going to be a pass for me on other things. Kevin Roy at 200-1, I think should get a little bit of attention. Trey Mullinax, same thing, Texas guy, could be kind of interesting. But, you know, you're trying to kind of ride the coattails of a guy who had a good week last week who has more of an affinity to Houston than to San Antonio. So that'll do that. So that should be everything Valero Texas Open related. We'll have one more show for you. We'll talk about the LPGA match play out in Las Vegas. We'll talk about the Korn Ferry Tour in Savannah. We'll talk about LIV Golf in Miami. We'll throw in some more Masters thoughts, just kind of pull it together, a short show to round out the week. It'd be great if you subscribe to our channel either on YouTube, whether it's the audio channel, Golf News Net Radio, that's the only audio-only channel, or our video channel, Golf News Net. Happy to have you. Join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to everything that we do, all the data, all the modeling, all the picks that we talk about in this show in some depth, but not all depth. That's over at golfnewsnet.com. And if you already are a member, you want to add 2 or 3 years to that membership at that price, that discounted price, you can do that. Talk to me. Happy to add it, and we'll keep you going at those discounts for additional years. You can also watch this show on Golf News Net TV. It's available on our app on Roku and Amazon Fire, as well as Zeem, Free Life Sports, and Precast. Back with one more show to end, round out the week. Get ready for the Masters. Super excited for that. Can't believe it's already here. This year has gone by so quickly so far. But we're at the first men's major of the year. I can't wait for it. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you so much for watching. We'll talk to you next time.